Thank you, choir. That's such a beautiful song, and it just makes me feel like having all of you here, you raise me up. Students, faculty, staff, people that I'm able to work with, my friends, my family. And I'm excited to be here to speak to you today. And I'm going to speak to you about something I feel very passionate about. And you heard I'm the math program chair, so don't worry. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about math, even though I love that. But I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to talk about today is raising the bar, living a higher and holier way, becoming capable and trusted disciples of Jesus Christ. Notice that it says becoming. One of the many things that I feel is important in any subject that we're going to learn is to understand the why. One of the favorite questions, and Sister Lincoln can confirm this, that all math students say is, why do we have to learn this? And sometimes it's just so you can do things in the next math class. But ultimately, there is a big picture reason why we need to know something, to do things, and to ultimately become something. Raising the bar is a common phrase. We hear that often. But what does it really mean? To illustrate this, I'm going to go to its origin, the high jump. Now, the high jump is an event in track and field where on your own power, you run up and you jump over a bar. And they keep raising the bar until no one can go any higher, higher and higher. This is our second son, Jeff. He was born without a left fibula. This condition caused his leg to be much shorter than the right and proportionally will continue to have an even greater discrepancy. The way to treat this was to do an below-knee amputation when he was about 11 months old so he could be fitted with a prosthetic and they would be able to have his leg grow. They could change that discrepancy. As he grew, they could just make the leg longer. But despite the setback, Jeff refused to let his disability define him. He started walking when he was only 13 months old. This here is his first prosthetic leg. It's tiny. And he started walking when he was really young. And 13 months old is kind of a normal age to start walking. This little guy was very determined. He participated in sports at a young age. When he was in high school, he played on the basketball team. And one day during his sophomore year, the track coach was out in the gym watching him dunk the basketball with his elbows up above the rim, and he told him he should go out and high jump, go on the track team. His first practice, he went out and he jumped 6 feet. This was currently higher than anyone could jump, and so he continued to have success. He eventually won the Washington State high jump his senior year. This was able body, not disability. Sometime during his junior year of high school, he was contracted by the company that manufactured the foot he was using. And the type of artificial foot that he was using was guaranteed for life, and he kept breaking them. And the company said, they asked his prosthetist, what is this kid doing to break these feet? And she told him that he was a high school athlete, and they immediately contacted him to participate in Paralympic sports. His first Paralympic track meet he went to was held in Southern California. He broke the world record for amputee high jump. And all the athletes there called him the high school kid because he was by far the youngest there. He went to the World Championships in France when he was 17 years old, and he's competed all over the world, including Athens, where he won a silver medal in the high jump. Beijing, he won a gold in the high jump and a silver in the pentathlon. He went to London, where he again won a silver in the high jump, and he went to Rio, but he didn't medal. He was considered old at that age, over 30. You're an old athlete, so. But he had all these incredible opportunities to travel all over the world. So with that in mind, I want to talk about what I have learned about raising the bar, living a higher and holier way, by watching from my experiences of watching Jeff. Lesson number one, always have the goal in front of you where you can see it. After competing in Athens, Jeff set a goal to jump 2.15 meters, or about 7 feet. That is about the height I can reach with my arm as I extend it as high as I can. It's this high to jump. Jeff put a mark of 7 feet high on his wall in his bedroom where he would see it every day. So they had the goal in front of him, he would think about it. To become like our Savior and to return to live with Him, we need to have Him in front of us every day. We need to have pictures of Him, music, scriptures. We need to make Him the focus of our life that we think about every single day. Lesson number two, practice the small and simple things. I thought it would be fun to go watch a high jump practice. I thought they would start out low and just keep jumping until they got very high. But that's not how practice was. It was working out in the weight room. It was strengthening your core, doing plyometrics. It was running sprints, counting the exact number of steps to the bar and the path to the bar over and over and over, doing two-step jumps. Doing these things change your body, and it becomes automatic. You develop muscle memory. So with that in mind, what are the small and simple things that we need to do to live spiritually? It's the Sunday school answers, reading scriptures, saying your prayers, doing small acts of kindness, the service. It's doing these things over and over and over again. These are the things that change your heart and you become like Christ. Lesson number three, stand on something that is solid and not after the manner of men. Now, Jeff jumps off his right leg, not his prosthetic leg. He jumps off his sound leg. A lot of the other Paralympic athletes will jump off their prosthetic leg. He also uses a regular street prosthetic, not the fancy blade for running. He had a blade for running because he would do some sprints, but he did that. So what we need to do is we need to stand on something that is solid. Helaman 5:12 says, "Now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation." We need to make sure that everything we do is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He needs to become the foundation. Build upon the gospel. Lesson number four. The higher the bar, the harder it is to clear. Now, that's pretty obvious, right? Elder Paul Jarvis taught, "Jesus taught a higher law that not only elevates our actions, but also the thoughts and feelings that inspire them. This higher law required much more. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." What I'd like to do now is I'd like to go to the scriptures to talk a little bit about what Jesus taught. If you have your scriptures, I'm going to be in Matthew 5 where we talk about the Sermon on the Mount. And this has been Come Follow Me recently, and so we're going to talk about some of the things that you've studied this year. But I want to start in verse 21. And it says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, it's interesting that if you go to 3 Nephi, these same scriptures are there. An interesting thing to note in 3 Nephi, there's one slight change. If I was in a class, I'd have you all get this out, look for it, and see if you could find it. But since we don't have that option to do that here, I'm going to talk to you about it. In 2 Nephi 12:22, it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment." I'm not going to stop there. The difference it is here is that in the first one, it says without a cause. So what Christ is asking us to do is to be not be angry even when we have a cause. We need to not be angry with our brethren. So we're going to go now back to Matthew 5, verse 27. "You've heard that it has been said by them of old, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart." And then we jump down to 43. "Ye have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." And if we go back to chapter 12 in 3 Nephi, there's an added verse that I think kind of summarizes all of this for us. It says, "Behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer that none of these things shall enter into your heart." So when you think about all these scriptures that I've just read, this is the higher and holier law. The original law was, don't do this. It's what was legally required. But now we're talking about what's in our heart. And that's what God and Heavenly Father wants us to do. If anger and lust never enter your heart, the actions are never going to follow. And the Savior wants our hearts to change for us to become something different. Finally, the last scripture there in Matthew 5 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And in 3 Nephi 12, it just adds, "Even as I and your Father in heaven is perfect." And we could have a whole lesson talking about what that means. But I believe that this is where we start to change our heart. So for over 50 years, the For Strength of Youth Guide has been a guide for Latter-day Saints. In October 2020, the church introduced an updated version. For this version of this For Strength of Youth, it's titled A Guide for Making Choices. One thing that I want to talk about here is some of the change. Now, I know when it first came out, I worked with young women and young men a lot. A lot of them were like, sweet, we have no more rules. Like, the book doesn't have a big list of rules. And even some parents were saying, what are we going to do? We don't have the rules. But it's exactly the opposite of that. What it is it's a higher and holier way to think about our behavior. On page 4 in the For Strength of Youth pamphlet, I'm going to go there and read it to you. It says, "Make Jesus Christ your standard, your rock solid foundation. Build your life on his teachings and measure your choices by them." So that's what we're going to do, is instead of having a list of things, we're going to measure our choice. And this pamphlet is awesome. It talks about doctrine and principles. It starts with love God and love people, and it goes from there. It has in the back, if you want the list, you can go to the index and you can find the list of things to do, but it references us back to the doctrine that we should be following. Elder Uchtdorf stated when this first came out, "To be very clear, the best guide you can possibly have for making choices is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the strength of youth." So for the purpose of For the Strength of Youth is to point you to him. It teaches you eternal truths of his restored gospel, truths about who you are, who he is, and what you can accomplish with his strength. It teaches you how to make righteous choices based on those eternal truths. He goes on to say, "Is it wrong to have rules? Of course not. We all need them every day. But it is wrong to focus on rules instead of focusing on the Savior. You need to know the whys and the hows and then consider the consequences of your choice. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. He will lead you the right way. He is your strength." And I love this. The new guidelines focus on values, principles, and doctrine instead of very specific behavior. In a similar way, the CES Honor Code encourages us to live a higher and holier law. The CES Honor Code is a tangible expression of that commitment. The Honor Code is not simply a set of rules that we must follow, but rather it is a manifestation of a higher and holier law. It is a reflection of the covenants that we make with Heavenly Father at baptism and in the temple. It is an expression of our commitment to follow the Savior and become like him. We can ask ourselves, what is the doctrine as we strive to live the honor code? Whatever it is you're struggling with, think about, what is the doctrine? Just like the new For Strength of Youth program, we're not just following rules, but we're seeking to become more like our Savior. We are striving to live that higher and holier law that brings us closer to him and ultimately helps us become more like him. Apologize, sorry about that. One last lesson that I learned from high jump is you're going to knock the bar off sometimes. I don't know if you know this, but each jumper gets 3 attempts at each height. You can knock the bar off twice. If you make that next height, you just keep on going. And so as they raise the bar, you continue to get 3 heights. There's many, many, many times. Now, if you knock it off 3 times, you're done for that meet. But there are more meets every single year than just one, right? And there's actually a lot of years that you could be participating. Getting a silver medal, I actually have it with me here. This is the silver medal that Jeff got in Athens. And he was so disappointed that he got the silver medal. He was a world record holder and thought he should get the gold. And so he left it with me. So that's really a bummer that I get to keep his silver medal, right? So, but that was a setback for him. Knocked the bar off when he wasn't expecting it. But he went home and he set some new goals. Stephen Owen, former General Young Men president, said, "Too often we think about repentance as something miserable and depressing. But God's plan is the plan of happiness, not the plan of misery. Repentance is uplifting, ennobling. It's sin that brings unhappiness. Repentance is our escape route." President Nelson has said, "When we choose to repent, we choose to change. We allow the Savior to transform us into the best version of ourselves. We choose to grow spiritually and receive joy, the joy of redemption in Him. When we choose to repent, we choose to become more like Jesus Christ." So that's kind of a really cool thought when you think about that. As in the high jump, you get multiple attempts. We will need those multiple attempts. We're going to knock the bar off. We're going to make mistakes. And we need to be able to go back. Another thing to keep in mind is that once you reach the high level, you don't go back and start over at the lower level. When Jeff would compete in high school, he wouldn't take his first jump until the bar was at 6 feet. And the bar usually started about 4.5 feet, or about 1.4 meters. He'd come in at about 1.8 meters. And he'd be sitting there with his sweats on and his whole thing just waiting, and these other guys were jumping, and they were thinking they were winning. Then he'd come in and jump over 6 feet and continue on. But each jump takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. So he wanted to save his energy to the higher heights. We also need to be careful not to choose to go back down to lower level of obedience. You hear people say, "Well, I can just repent." But it's much, much harder. The way back is very difficult. It's much easier to stay at a high level of commitment and obedience. Becoming like Jesus Christ and returning to live with Him is the why of living a higher and holier way. So we're going to review the lessons that I learned as we talk about this. Always have the goal in front of you where you can see it. Remember that we need to practice the small and simple things. Stand on something that is solid, not after the manner of men. The gospel of Jesus Christ is where we need to stand. The higher the bar, the harder it is to clear. And to do that, we need to think about living by doctrine and principles as we make choices and as we go through that. You're going to knock the bar off sometimes. Repentance is our escape route. So, 7 feet, did it happen? Let's take a look. So this was at a really small track meet at a community college in Southern California. Very few people attended. It wasn't on the big stage. There wasn't a gold medal. In fact, it was an able-bodied track meet, not a Paralympic track meet. So it didn't count as an amputee record. But that's the way it is for our life. We're not doing it for the show. We're not doing it to get recognition. The way that we try to, our ultimate goal of becoming more like Christ and to returning to live with Him, this is what we do. It's going to be a quiet thing that happens as we do this, as we strive to live like Heavenly Father and Jesus. It'll be a quiet thing. But you saw his excitement as he did that. That was a big thing for him to reach that 7-foot record as an amputee. I tried to look to see if there's anybody else as an amputee that has broken that record, and I couldn't find anything. So I can't say for sure that he is the only one, but he might be. But there might be other like him that are doing it quietly on their own than doing that. So I want us to think about this today. As we choose to raise the bar, we choose to push ourselves to become, to be better, to do better, and to become better in every aspect of our lives. God wants more than just our obedience. That's not what he's looking for. He wants us to become like him. He wants our heart, our might, our mind, and our soul. We can live, we can become who we were meant to be by living a higher and holier way, by making choices based on doctrine and principles. By doing this, you will get up and over the bar. You will become like him, and you can return to live with him again. Jesus Christ is the answer for everything. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity that I've had here to discuss with you how to become more like Jesus Christ. This is kind of a stressful thing to speak to all of you because so many people out here have so much more talent and they're great speakers and lots of opportunities, and I'm so grateful for this. A good friend of mine told me that you should take every opportunity you can to testify of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate this opportunity because I do want to testify of Jesus Christ. I know he is the way. He is the why. And that's what I like to teach when I'm teaching, is the why of what to do. Jesus Christ is the why because he loves you, he loves each one of you, and he wants us to return to live with him. The rules that we follow, the commandments, those are to bless our lives, to bring us joy in our life. And I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to have challenges as Jeff did. His life wasn't easy. We could tell all kinds of stories of things that were hard for him. But he was able to have great joy by making decisions and reaching and getting up over that bar. And we can too in our lives. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.